You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector, and published author on influencer marketing strategy. And Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. In this special podcast series, kindly brought to you in association with LTK, we're going to be looking at the world of fashion content creators. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. And so today I'm talking with veteran influencer Josie Fear, or Josie London, as she's known on Instagram. And I began by asking her about what she's been up to at the moment and who is Josie London.
Who is Josie? I'm Josie, and I started my online journey about 10 years ago. I would call myself one of the old timers, one of the OGs of the influence industry, and I've been able to see it changing and growing and flourishing in many ways in that 10 years. And it all started when I worked in the marketing team at Mulberry, the luxury handbag company, and I was also a bit of a teacher's pet at the time, still studying at university. And my lecturer would ask me, oh, Josie, do you mind if I put you in touch with a few of the girls in the younger years and guys? Because they'd like to ask you some things about your job. And I was getting asked the same questions over and over and over again. So I thought, I can't keep writing this out in individual emails. I'm going to pop it on the internet. So I Googled free websites, and the one that came up was Blogspot. And because I was mumbling, as I probably will do during this interview, so I apologize for that. Because I was mumbling about fashion, my blog became fashionmumbler.com. And to me back then, it was just a free website of sticking my thoughts on interning in the fashion industry and how to get your first job. So it was really about giving tips, giving advice. And then people would say, oh, Josie, I noticed you're wearing quite a cool lipstick. Tell me about that. Or I like your jumper. Where's that from? And so then the articles turned from being just advice to being what I was wearing. So it was a very natural way of starting the blog. And it started with the blog and with Twitter, which funnily enough, I no longer use. From then, I realized that the next exciting step would be to start a YouTube channel. And I would say that that was the real pivotal moment for me to make it into my full-time career. And that was 7 years ago, and I haven't looked back since.
I can even see you refer yourself on Instagram as a fashion mumbler.
I do mumble. People have to tell me to speak up and speak more clearly. So I'll try to do that for you.
So now you've been involved in this creator shop down in London, haven't you? Tell us more about that. And I think also you were involved in one of the panels as well, weren't you? It's certainly been so interesting bringing the sort of whole online world into a physical presence.
Yes, I think that sometimes we can be, as influencers, we can be quite wrapped up with our individual audience. And I would say I've spent quite a few years letting my audience know how to shop my posts. Whereas I think that the average shopper walking down the street, they maybe need that little push, that little bit more education. So I think the fact that LTK were able to take over a traditional retail space and bring influencer content to the whole shopping world that was trotting down Oxford Street on those days, I think that's a really exciting move for the industry, taking it from what some might see as a niche following into shopping for the mainstream. And I think it's a real indication of people's shopping habits, how they're changing, and the fact that let's be honest, I'm sure everyone that's listening to the podcast has got their phone either in their pocket or within a meter from them. And we're doing everything on our phones, whether that's watching TikToks or shopping. So I think that with LTK making it so obvious and so clear in the storefront that you can literally follow someone that you maybe have a lot of similarities to, maybe you are following them for inspiration, you can see a lot of similarities between your style and their style. I think it's great to show that it can be done so easily from your mobile phone.
Absolutely. In fact, I call it clicks to bricks. And if you look at traditional retail today, I think there's some real missings, to be honest. All you see is a lot of flat lays or mannequins, but you get the sense of styling and the education that you've just alluded to. And so do you think this is one of the real reasons why consumers are flocking to influencers that they really can relate to?
Yeah, definitely. I think that people nowadays are just so time poor that if they can find someone or something that's going to make their life easier, then they're going to hop on board. And I think that by naturally finding an influencer or content creator whose style you resonate with, then it just makes it so easy for you. Because I think that that's what makes the influencer industry so interesting, is that I would say 99% of people that follow an influencer follow them because they like the person as a whole, and they see a lot of, it's quite hard to describe, but say, for example, I would follow someone because I like the kind of restaurants that she dines out in. I like the kind of hotels that he recommends. She recommended a lipstick one time. I bought it and it was great. And over time, all of these little intricacies of that person's life, you find similarities with your own and you think, oh yeah, actually, if Josie likes that certain blouse, then maybe we have similar tastes. And if I follow her, maybe she'll present more things to me that I also like. So I think that it's all about kind of an editing process. So by finding someone to follow online who you see a lot of similarities to and you really relate to, I think that it makes your life a lot easier as a shopper, because someone else has done the editing process for you, someone else has done the shopping for you and presenting you with options that you're pretty likely to already like.
Absolutely. In the early days of influencer marketing, it was very much sort of top of the funnel brand awareness, wasn't it? But now it's so much more about affiliate links and really helping drive consumers to dedicated websites, or indeed, you know, their own shops as well. The transaction time has been enhanced hugely, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's certainly grown as my channels have grown, and in particular YouTube. I think that YouTube, for me personally, is my biggest sales driver. And I think it's interesting to compare that to the type of content that it is. Obviously, with YouTube, as opposed to Instagram, for example, you've got someone that's invested in watching your video for, in my case, 40 minutes to an hour. That's a lot of time that they're investing. And that's a lot of time that they're watching you. Even if you don't draw attention to it, if I wear this jumper, these earrings in a video, I don't even need to draw attention to it just by linking in the description box. I think there's an older marketing bit of research that said that 5 years ago, people had to see something 8 times to make an action. And now they have to see something 100 times because our attention span is so short. So if you can have something in front of your audience for a long period of time, I think that that's why YouTube converts so well. But yeah, for me, it's really amazing to see the amount of sales that do get driven from all the various platforms. But I would say that YouTube is definitely the strongest driver.
And are you on TikTok as well?
I am. I would say I'm very much a micro-influencer on TikTok because I think it's just a platform that I can't quite get my head around. I really enjoy watching the comedy sketches on it, but it's overwhelming. The amount of platforms is overwhelming. And if I could have a twin, then she would be in charge of my TikTok.
We're talking with Josie Fear, also known as Josie London, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This episode is brought to you by LTK, the pioneers of creator commerce. LTK is the platform on which creators are now driving more than $3 billion in annual retail sales, with its content monetization and brand collaboration tools. Thousands of global creators come to LTK to grow their flagship creator shop, which you can discover on the LTK shopping app today.
Welcome back to my guest today, Josie Fear. So do you pretty much work on your own, or have you got a whole team of people that work with you?
I've got 5 people that help me altogether. So that's someone that helps me with more of the kind of business transactions, photographer, finance, general assistant, and a virtual assistant. So it's a funny one, because when you are watching someone's Instagram stories or YouTube videos, the thing about this industry is that I use the iceberg analogy. You literally see this tiny little bit sticking out the top. It's all the work that goes into it. But when I started, obviously, for the first 5-6 years, it was just me. But then it was actually at the LTK conference in Dallas I went to about 5 years ago. And Amber, the founder of LTK, was on stage with a really successful US blogger called Army Song, Song of Style. And they were speaking about how in order to grow your business, you have to invest in people that are better than you at certain things. And I recognize I'm not great at finance. I'm not great at, you know, the admin side of the SEO of my videos. So since bringing on board people that are better than me at those things, I've really seen my business grow.
That's really good. And it's difficult, of course, for people starting out, isn't it? They have to be sort of multi-talented. And honestly, the people I've met over the last 2 years or so are just so super talented. They're almost like working as mini creative agencies, but charging a fraction of the price of a sort of full-time agency.
Absolutely.
And so tell us a little bit, some of the campaigns that you worked on. Are there any sort of standout ones, and which ones have you found to be so successful?
So a campaign that I always speak about when I'm asked my favorite is when LTK launched Topshop Girls. And for me, first of all, it was just a pinch me moment. I still remember where I was standing when I got that email into my inbox asking if I would like to be a Topshop ambassador. I just put the kettle on. And actually, I just got my first assistant and she ran into the kitchen. Josie, you won't believe this email that's just come through. So it was a real pinch me moment to begin with, to be asked to be an ambassador for Topshop. And I used to actually work at Topshop as a personal shopper. So it was kind of full circle. One of the reasons why the campaign was so successful was because, firstly, the brand didn't have strict criteria. They didn't say, okay, Josie, I need you wearing this outfit, posing in this location with XYZ deliverables. They knew that we knew that we would get chosen to do that campaign again if it performed well. And so they trusted in the creator's ability to create content that converted. And knowing our audiences as we do, I think I understand. Also, thanks to LTK Analytics, I understand what kind of content performs well. So I was able to take the rough outline of deliverables that Topshop wanted and create the content in a way that was going to feel really natural to me, because let's face it, no one wants to be advertised to. So it didn't feel like an advert. It felt really natural because the brand hadn't given me a script to spiel off. And that was phase one. It went really well. And I ended up doing 10 phases of ambassadorship for Topshop, which I think lasted around 4 years until sadly Topshop were no more. So that was a great partnership. And I think long-term flexible partnerships where the brands just trust that you will create content that works, I think that is the key to a great collaboration.
I couldn't agree with you more. In a way, it's what you've been saying is your audience are connecting you with that brand and seeing you show up on a regular basis. You know, you don't want to be seen as an influencer trader that's constantly promoting a different brand every 2 weeks, do you?
No.
So fascinating. So what's the plan then, Josie, for the future? And what do you want to do moving forwards? Would you like to have, for example, your own brand?
Do you know what? I really would love to have my own brand. It's such a toss-up, because having a physical product to launch that is such a huge investment in time and money. Whereas thanks to 10 years of analytics, I'm pretty confident with which product categories would perform really well if I was to bring something out. But then because I know that they perform well already, would I be shooting myself in the foot? For example, if I was to launch a jewelry brand, would I then not get to work with a lot of my favorite jewelry brands that at the moment I work with really closely? So that's a bit of a toss-up. But at the same time, I don't know if this industry is going to be around in the same way forever. And do I want to be putting my life on the internet forever? So it'd be really nice to have something else to work on behind the scenes. So yeah, something that I'd love to do, but not just quite sure what yet.
I've got to ask as well, why do you think it's been dominated by so many women? I mean, I think it's around 85% of influencers are women. Are you just guys better at communicating, or is it just the emotional engagement? I mean, what is it?
Again, not something I can put my finger on, but I compare my business to my fiance's business, and he's an influencer as well, amongst doing other things. And I think it's more that the audience of men is not quite shopping in the same way as the female audience. So whereas his friends or followers, I should say, and friends will see him wearing a beautiful Reese suede bomber jacket. They'll see him wearing it on Instagram 5 or 6 times. And then when he sees him down the pub, they're wearing it. They've gone and bought this expensive suede bomber jacket. And they'll say, oh yeah, I got it on in the shop. So actually that sale hasn't been trackable. So I think they shop in a different way. I think men consume content in a different way. And I'm not going to lie, if Charlie's watching something on YouTube, it's going to be the football highlights. It's not going to be another male influencer's YouTube video. I think it's just maybe the content that he wants is not shopping content. So it's just a different shape of the industry for the men. But there are some guys doing the most amazing fashion content, and I know that they convert really highly. I think just the numbers of the females is still significantly higher.
So anyway, a big thank you, Josie. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, and I wish you all the very best for the future.
Brilliant. No problem. Thank you.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Tomorrow, I'm talking with Anissa Sojka, who is a jewelry and hair accessory influencer, and she's got over 500,000 followers on Instagram. So another great episode. Thanks as always to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Frida One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.